The Sportscast, July 26, 2021, a packed day in sports this past weekend. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, or download the Sportscast app for any late-breaking notifications. We are up there with Adam Scheffner, Ian Rappaport. We get things out in the push really quick. And, of course, you could definitely get that for iOS. Packed weekend, a lot going on. Texas, Oklahoma are heading to the SEC. All signs are indicating Deshaun Watson, the Texans want to trade him, but at full value. And, of course, Team USA lost against France. Don't know if that's a big red flag. But joining us all the way from upstate New York, a man that knows a little bit about every sport in the world, including cricket, Ryan Crist. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Adam. It's good to be with you. It's good to be talking sports. Like you said, typically this time of year, it's the dog days of sports, you know, but a lot of things happening, you know, like you said, especially, you know, unique sporting events like the Olympics and Gold Cup happening, and it's a fun time. On a couple weeks till you get to football training camp.
Absolutely. And, of course, the COVID thing definitely is probably a big thing that made all this happening this past weekend. Let's start with Texas, Oklahoma. They're from the Big 12. All of a sudden, I did not hear any rumors or anything. I mean, some people did. They have cut their rights with the media, with the Big 12, not past 24-25 season, indicating they're going to the SEC. Ryan Crista, A&M did that a few years ago. Now these two teams are going the Super Conference. What are your thoughts and observations?
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. Santiago, yeah, I mean, you got two major football powers heading to an already stacked conference. It's a big move, and with any move at college sports like this, there's a domino effect. I mean, San Diego, we saw this a couple years ago with the Big East, you know. This could be the end of the Big 12. Yeah, like you said, the crazy thing about it is it literally came out of nowhere. The only way the Big 12 stays course is they can keep, you know, everybody out there, and they can try to add, you know, an upper echelon, a lower upper echelon, you know, group of five program, you know, with money that's at Houston, at UCF, you know, teams that could fit right in there. But it's not good. This is more bad news for the Big 12 than it is good news for the SEC.
Now, there's also rumors, I think I've heard as well, some Pac-12 teams want to join the Big Ten. Is this a little bit of a, not a collusion, but some type of effort from all schools? Hey, we want to condense things down to maybe three conferences.
I mean, it looks like it's Santiago. I mean, right now, I mean, you're going to probably, the teams that don't get invited, you know, we talked about this about 10 years ago when Texas was just about to join the Pac-12, which would have probably let Oklahoma jump in. It's always been this feeling that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State were never do anything by themselves, that they would, if one team moved, the other team would move too. But this is a lot of unique business moves. You know, obviously Texas and Texas A&M have this bitter dislike for each other. But you know, so Texas got money from the Texas Longhorn Network. Texas A&M didn't like that, so they went off the SEC. You know, so right now, you know, very soon, the last really nail in the hammer is that the 14 teams in the SEC already will have to vote on it, the 75%. And really, the only school that will say no, it will be Texas A&M. So, like you said, there's some formalities to it, when it's going to happen. It looks like it could be several years away, though, Santiago. You know, they've contract, you know, through TV, you know, through 2024. So this could be a move now for several years. And then, you know, unless they can figure out buyouts and all that. So.
Yes, and what I've been hearing from my end, you know, ESPN definitely had a hand in this. So, yeah, there's TV contracts. Things cannot be right away. It probably won't happen this season. A lot of paperwork.
It definitely won't happen this season. And I think the hope for these teams that they'd be, you know, 1 year from now that they'd be entering, you know, the SEC. So the SEC, you know, already makes a buttload of money. And now they're going to have a lot more because of the ESPN taking over CBS as the game of the week on the SEC. So they're going to throw more money at the SEC member schools. So, you know, will that money be used to kind of buy out Texas over? I mean, we got two more powerful football brands that is already powerful, you know. I mean, and now you've got rumors, you know, as soon as this happened, all rumors are flying, you know, is Clemson and Florida State going to be next? You know, those would be, you know, the teams that they'd likely want to add to that corner market, maybe Miami, you know. So the ACC has, you know, the ACC got to basically beg Notre Dame to join and give them what they want. It's going to be an interesting next couple months, you know. Where things are going to shake out in the next couple of years.
And I wonder if the Super League had any type of influence towards this.
It sounds like it, but, you know, at the same time, it's just going to be all put together. And now, because, I mean, this is all made up by owners or presidents of schools who want to make more money.
Yeah.
In the end, are fans going to like this? You know, because once you know, you Texas and Oklahoma fans, I think, would be okay joining the SEC. But does that mean, you know, does TCU really want to join the Pac-12? It's not really good for their fans, you know, to be traveling all those ways. It's not. You definitely lose what makes college football special, and that's the regionality of the sport.
Yes, as Ryan said, money is a factor. When you see the numbers, the projections, it definitely looks pretty good. Let's go into the NFL, Ryan. The Houston Texans have said they are willing to trade Deshaun Watson, but at full value. They're saying five high draft picks. Obviously, Deshaun Watson has 22 pending lawsuits, and I've been hearing the Broncos are interested, but what are your thoughts?
I think the Broncos are pretty much – they have been pretty silent on this. Last rumors with this. So there's two folds we're dealing with the Broncos. Well, I mean, well, I'll tell you about Watson before we get into Rogers. It really looks like your hometown Miami Dolphins and the Philadelphia Eagles are really the two prime candidates right now, because the Texans would be able to get draft picks and a starting quarterback from each of those teams to build around. So, you know, you would either get Philadelphia, you get Jalen Hurts, and Miami, you get Tua Tagovailoa, plus, you know, high draft picks. The Broncos won't be able to add that. You know, I don't think they really want it through lock, but so I think that really what separates the Dolphins and Eagles right now. I don't think either of them will
pull the trigger.
What the Texans want, they're going to have to meet in the middle, you know. Because, you know, I don't think what he did is probably land him in jail, I don't think, right now. But it'll probably land him on a suspension, that's what I assume will probably be at least a half, not a whole season. But basically the league has stated that nothing's imminent, so I think he's clear to play for the present moment. So I assume really looking at suspension for next year. So you're really banking on two organizations that feel like they're really ready to win right now, and a quarterback puts them over the top.
Definitely, developments is going to happen. We'll see if it does. If not, you know, hey.
You know, remember, the Texans under O'Brien, you know, the head coach and GM, traded away a lot of their future draft picks. So this is a team that really has a not a very good roster, and they weren't really able to improve the roster in the draft because, you know, they traded the likes of getting a Laramie Tunzel And others in the last couple of years, you know, they lost a lot of talent. J.J. Watt was able to let go. So the Texans are looking for draft capital coming up in the next couple of years. They really would do a good service to get as much as they could. You know, I think right now they're waiting for Deshaun Watson to basically show up to training camp. So you have that. And once he was able to show up, then he became eligible to basically be tradable. So it kind of worked that way.
Things are working in the background. Another situation with another quarterback, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. There has been rumors indicating that Aaron Rodgers will be back this season. Of course, there are some other rumors that he might be retiring. And today, the Packers had a shareholder meeting, and they said that they're working with Aaron Rodgers' camp. They said GM Brian Gutekunst, which I believe he has an issue. Aaron Rodgers has an issue with him. Said, "We have been working tirelessly with Aaron Rodgers and his reps to resolve the issues he raised this offseason and remain hopeful for a positive outcome." Ryan, will you see Aaron Rodgers this upcoming season with the Packers?
Yeah, I think so. I think today was just the first time he said, okay, you know, I think he made it known this offseason he's not happy with the Packers. At the end of the day, he's a football player. He's loyal to the organization beyond the current management. I don't think he's not doing it for them. He's doing it because he likes the game, he likes his teammates. I think, you know, this will be able, you know, if he comes back, they'll be able to probably say, you know, Devontae Adams back on this roster. So, again, they go back to a Super Bowl caliber team, you know, when you got a quarterback and receiver combination like those two. So, it was just basically a lot of fire in the offseason, you know. A lot of fun, you know, a lot of dreams for other teams, including my Broncos. But at the end of the day, I think he'll play. I don't know if he'll ever sign an extension with them, but I think he'll finish off this contract.
I agree as well. Of course, they did offer him a big contract, lucrative, and turned it down. It was not a money issue, but I think it's a personnel issue, which they're trying to resolve. So there's still a couple more weeks, which just 10 more days to the first football game preseason. So keep that in mind. Big news this weekend, Team USA basketball lose against France, the Olympic opener for Team USA. France has a lot of good stars like Rudy Gobert. Is this a red flag for Team USA? Is Popovich not the right man for this job? Ryan, what do you think?
It's not good right now, Santiago. The red flags we thought before during these tune-up games came to light yesterday. I mean, it is a lot of, you know, obviously losing, you know, Bradley Beal right before tournament, you know, and then Jeremy Grant. You know, then you throw in, you know, Chris Middleton, Devin Booker, and Drew Holiday right, you know, coming in hours before the game. You know, they just haven't gelled right. You know, they'll get right tomorrow or Wednesday or Tuesday, I think Wednesday against Iran. So they should be able, you know, that'll be a game. You know, I don't think they could even lose it. They tried to.
Winnable game. Very winnable.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going against a team that understands international basketball. You got players, you know, the French team, they play together, you know, and then they play well together. I think it's hard to say yes. It was an upset. Yes, they should have won. But they're not playing a horror. You know, they're playing, you know, very capable team in the French. So, yes, I think, you know, France is probably in running to, you know, win a medal. You know, I think right now, as long as you think, you know, should be able to get a couple wins here and move on to the next round. But, you know, I really think the biggest challenge right now is probably going to be from the Aussies. You know, I think Australia's got a very good team. You know, they have good talent. You know, a lot of them playing in the NBA.
Kyrie Irving is in that team?
What?
Is Kyrie Irving playing on the Australia team?
No, he's not.
Okay.
No, he's not.
Yeah, because I know he's eligible, and I think he was born there. You know, so.
I mean, you got, you know, Joe English, Andrew Bogart,
Aaron Baines, Jock Landale, Aaron Nick Hay, Chris Golding.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people who, you know, had played in the NBA, had a cup of coffee in the NBA. They did well put together. I think they will probably give the USA the biggest challenge in the knockout round.
Don't forget your man, Matthew Dellavedova.
Dellavedova, yeah. It's so funny. A lot of these players came through St. Mary's. For some reason, St. Mary's College and the West Coast Conference has direct line to, you know, Australia or a lot of these young guys. I mean, they'd be, I mean, really great if they get Kyrie or they have Ben Simmons playing. You know, I mean, they'd be like, you know, but, you know, you got the likes of something like a Dante Exum, who was a top five NBA draft pick at one time, and DeBoga is number one. You know, so we're not we're talking about quality NBA players. So they seem like they're really good. So that, you know, and you know, Spain's not bad. And my boy Luka Doncic, 48 points, and you know, Slovenia's 14-0 in games where Luka Doncic play. You know, but you know, at the end of the day, I don't think they have enough overall talent around Luka to be some of the powerhouses. But they're sure to be catching his games, though.
Well, there you have it. USA plays Iran, then Czech Republic, which I know Brian Windhorst has concerns with Czech Republic, but they have to do a lot of score a lot of points against Iran. Let's go into soccer. U.S. defeated Jamaica 1-0, a goal by Matthew Hopp, a player from Shock 4. USA is now in the quarterfinals against Qatar.
I think it's a semi.
Yes. Yes. Correct. The MIs, they beat Jamaica in the quarterfinals, and they're one win away to go to the finale in Las Vegas.
Yes, probably, you know, it'd be probably against
Mexico. But Canada's been looking good, though.
Yeah. And what a fun story. I mean, we've been ready for Canadian athletics to kind of, other than hockey, to step up, you know? I mean, they got...
Not their basketball team either, right?
Yeah, I mean, the basketball team, that means, you know, they're always a disappointment. You know, they lost, I think, the Czech Republic. I think it was in the Czech Republic or Serbia in the finals to make it to the Olympics. But, yeah, so, yeah. But, you know, for some reason, Canadian, you know, national team for soccer is always lying behind.
Hey.
So, they'll be, you know, invited Qatar as one of the teams to kind of fill out the CONCACAF here. Gold Cup. I've been pleasantly surprised by Qatar. You know, I know they're hosting the World Cup, but I hadn't heard much of, you know, much news out of Qatar soccer in a long time.
Yeah, and they've been playing a lot of the bigger tournaments. Like they played Copa America 2 years ago, and they play and they actually won the Asian Cup recently. So they are the best team in Asia apparently. And then, of course, in the Gold Cup. So USA cannot take them lightly. I have to tell them that because this Qatar team has been running through a lot of teams already in this Gold Cup. But, hey, good test is good for us. Get ready either if we play Mexico or Canada.
It's always good because I think unless this lineup they're throwing out there are not really household names for, you know, U.S. national team, obviously, because we're resting a lot of those players. You know,
yeah, it's like a B-minus C team they've been calling it.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, this is the guy who scored the goal last night. He was going to be a player, you know, for a long time for the U.S. national team.
Matthew
really
Hopp.
Exciting player that point. Yeah, you know, fun player to watch. But, yeah, U.S. definitely lacks firepower at this lineup they've been playing with. But, you know, they play well. You know, they don't give up many opportunities, you know. So, I haven't really watched too much of Mexico. Know what, you know, how they rate, but it's
not so hot. Yeah, they're not so hot, but you know, who knows, they might peak at the right moment.
Yeah, you know, and it whoever's on the field is when it's US and Mexico, you know, they'll always be entertaining. But yes, but before we get there, you know, both teams gotta take care of business in the semifinals.
Exactly. NBA drafts is this Thursday, July 29th. Ryan, what are your expectations? And, what's going to happen, you think? Good. I heard there's a good draft class. That's what I've been hearing.
Yes, you know, I'm not sure if we'll talk before now or before Thursday, but I like, you know, Kate Cunningham, who is basically, you know, remind, you know, in fact, I've heard from multiple people, I've watched a lot of Kate Cunningham this year, and there's a lot of insiders, and so it's not just me, but yeah, he is the next Luka Doncic, you know, a point guard, point forward, whatever you want to call it, you know, 6'6", 6'7", can shoot. He can play off the ball, on the ball. You know, he's basically a can't miss prospect. You know, his size and athleticism. So, good news for the Pistons. Pistons are in really good shape, Santiago. They may not be ready to make the playoffs this year, but they drafted well. Had two really good rookies this last year. You know, Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart, along with, you know, I think the most improved player in the league, and Jeremy Grant, you know. So I like where this organization's going. Jalen Green should be drafting number two. Evan Mobley, center from USC, you know, yeah. Good defensive player. A really great defensive player, a good offensive player. And Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga, point guard, which I assume, you know, all signs of him going to the Raptors at number four. With Kyle Lowry being a free agent, this kind of makes sense, you know.
What about my boy Luka Garza?
Luka Garza just lacks the athleticism, Santiago, to be, you know, a high draft pick. You know, I really haven't heard him in the lottery at all, Santiago. So, but he can definitely be a player. And that, I mean, doesn't mean he won't excel any, but I think his lack of athleticism will hurt him. So,
well, there you have it. NBA draft this Thursday. We might have a show beforehand or afterwards to analyze what happened. Of course, you know, for the NBA, everyone looks at the years, the 1984 draft, the 1996 draft, the 2003, where it was LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Melo, and then, of course, you know, throw in Chris Bosh if you want. So, you know, these years are very important. This one I heard is very positive. And, of course, just like Ryan says, it's probably looking good for Detroit because they do need some help since Blake Griffin was traded. Anyways, anything else before we head into the poll question of the day, Ryan?
I think we've covered a vast majority. You know, like, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe talk, you know, end of the week, you know, with trade deadline in baseball and NBA draft coming up. So definitely an exciting week here in the sports world.
Exciting time. What is your favorite kind of Frappuccino, Ryan? The choices are mocha, caramel, strawberries and cream, or vanilla bean.
I never had coffee of any type in my life, Santiago, so I don't think I'd be really the person to answer it, but strawberry and cream sounds good, though.
Strawberries and cream is at 14.3%. Mocha is at 42.9%, my favorite. Vanilla bean second at 28.6%, and then caramel and strawberries and cream are tied for last at 14.3%, or they're tied for third.
All right.
Okay. Ryan Kristen, what is the best way to reach you online to convince you that Deshaun Watson would be a great fit for the Broncos?
MadDogReport18 on Twitter.
And you can reach us at the Sportscast 1, thesportscast.net. Full week ahead in sports and looking forward to bright futures for a lot of players and teams in all sports. Ryan Krista, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
No problem, Daniel. God bless everybody.